Just so grateful. I'm just so humbled and thankful for what God's doing in our midst. And I mean, I believe that. That's not just pastor speak. I really believe God's up to something special in your life and in our church and in our city. Come on, if you're willing to believe that with me, come on, let me hear from you. God's doing something. God's doing something. I'm just so grateful. Turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to 1 Samuel 17. Turn or click over to 1 Samuel 17. And I'm going to pick up in this passage, David and Goliath. Come on, who's familiar with the story of David and Goliath? And we're going to have some kind of, it's kind of going to be like some old-fashioned Sunday school up in here this morning. Just kind of go through a Bible story and then just see what God has to speak to you and me. Amen. And so just bear with me. We're going to read practically the whole story and then just kind of back in. I just believe the Lord's highlighted some things to speak to you this morning and encourage you with and challenge you with and remind you about, and that God wants to reveal some things to you through his word this morning. Come on, would you just begin to allow your heart to be filled with expectation for what God wants to speak and do in your life this morning? We're here to do so much more than just sing a few songs and have a good message, hopefully a good message. We're here to encounter the living God. We're here to present ourselves as his people. We're here to receive from his heart what he has in mind, what he has in store for you and for me. Amen. So are you there? 1 Samuel chapter 17. They're about midway through your Old Testament there. And just hang with me. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. And they'll put it up behind me here if you don't have your Bible handy. And it says in verse 1, the Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko and Judah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Come on, that's tall, y'all. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam. I don't know what that is, but as big, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood, and he shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and to fight me. And if he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and they were deeply shaken. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephratite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. And David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, every morning, every evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. And one day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and take these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain and see how your brothers are getting along. And bring back a report on how they're doing. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. And so David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had directed him. And he arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and with battle cries. And soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing one another, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, and he hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. And David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and he'll give the man's entire family exemption from paying taxes. And David asked the soldier standing by, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And these men gave David the same reply, and they said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. And he said, what are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and your deceit. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and to bears, and I'll do it again to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. And Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail, and David put it on and strapped a sword over it, took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. And he said, I can't go in these things, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out towards David with the shield bearer ahead of him and sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy. He said, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you have come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. And he said, come over here. I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. And David replied to the Philistine, you come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle. He will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David ran quickly out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling, and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled, and he fell down, face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and only a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's own sword from his sheath and used it to kill him and cut off his head. And the courage of one man brought courage to an entire army, and the victory was the Lord's that day. Amen. Come on, would you join me in prayer? Just ask the Lord to just speak to us this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for that what you've done in previous days and previous seasons in the life of your people, you'll do again today for us as your people. We're gathered here as the people of God, people of faith. And Lord, we thank you that the challenges that we're up against, Lord, you'll see us through. We thank you that the battle would be yours and that today you would show us and reveal to us and remind us, God, of some ways that you desire to move on our behalf. Show us the steps that we can take, God. Show us how to be faithful to you, that we might be in a position, Lord, that you can, in our lives, Lord, with the lions and with the bears and with the giants that we're up against, that you might deliver us to a victory that would bring you glory and bring courage to those around us. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's precious people said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, I believe that this is a season of growing in the Lord. I believe that this is a season. The Lord spoke to me as we were approaching 2018. He said, it's a season of drawing near, growing close, and going deep. And it's wherever you are, wherever you have been. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're seeking after God, if you're here this morning and you're a relatively new believer, if you've served the Lord for many years, I'm encouraging you today. It's a time of taking steps. It's a time of moving forward. It's a time of drawing near and growing close and going deep in God. It's a time to know. It's a time to trust. It's a time to follow Jesus more than you ever have before. It's a time to be in the Word of God and in the presence of God and gathered with the people of God in such a way that we become more aware of, and not just aware of, but convinced of our identity and our authority in Christ Jesus. Listen, let me just encourage you with something this morning. I believe that God's called every one of us to be giant killers for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be a giant killer, you're going to have to know your identity. If you're going to be a giant killer, you're going to have to know your identity in Christ. Listen, David had been anointed of God for a purpose and for a future, and he knew this. And you need to hear this morning. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you have access to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ. You've got to understand the identity that you have so that you can do and become the thing that God's called you to do and be. If you don't know who you are in God, you'll never become it. You have access to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the authority and the victory and the power of Jesus. Listen, Romans 8:15 says this: you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. Listen, I don't know what's been spoken over your life, and I don't know how much you're aware of or convinced of your identity in Christ. But I'm here to remind you this morning, I'm here to encourage you this morning, that if you have called and put your faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sons and daughters. You're no longer slaves, that scripture says. You're now friends of God. Come on, you're not the last. You're the first and not the last. According to God's word, you're the head and you're not the tail. Come on, you're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the country. Come on, where are my country folks at? Come on, you're blessed in your coming. You're blessed in your going. You're an overcomer and you're a conqueror, and not just a conqueror, God's word said. That wasn't a strong enough way to say it. You're more than a conqueror. Come on, some of you need to get in touch and become aware or be reminded of your identity in Christ, the anointing and the authority that you have access to in his name. Come on, you say, Pastor T, that's just rah-rah coach stuff, you know. Well, guilty as charged. Come on, what else do you want me to be as your pastor but someone that's encouraging you to discover and become all that God's made possible for you as a disciple and as a believer? And listen, can I just tell you something? I love Chet Kiefer. He's on our staff. But aren't you grateful for our worship team, by the way? Come on, aren't they growing in the Lord? Aren't they growing? Worship was just awesome this morning. Thank you guys for all that you do and for serving so faithfully in the Activate weekend last week. They learned 12 songs by heart, and then I think we only did like 6 or 7 of them. And so I'm just so grateful and thankful for all the time and energy and effort that they put in, and they're showing up and they're leaning in and they're leading us into the presence of God. Well, Chet Kiefer, you know, he plays bass right over here, and he's an active guy. You've seen him, you know, and he's on our staff, he's on our team, and he calls me coach. He calls me coach. When he texts me, when he responds, he says, "Hey, thanks, coach," or "Hey, coach, what are we going to do about this?" Or "Hey, coach, what would you like us to do here?" He calls me coach. And can I tell you, I think it's prophetic and it's getting on me. And I just tell you something, I'd prefer in the ministry that God's called me to be known as a coach and not a superstar. Because if I'm a coach, then we're all getting better. If I'm a coach, then I'm helping you discover the destiny that you have in God. If I'm a coach, I'm encouraging you to overcome the challenges and the obstacles and the resistance that you're currently up against to become who God's called you to be. If I'm a coach, then we're all in the game. If I'm a coach, we're all discovering and fulfilling our potential. How many of you believe we're better together when we're standing together as a team? Listen, I'm in it to win it, and we're going to win as a team. So listen, in this adventure of faith, there are some obstacles that you can expect. There's some resistance you can expect. And I want to tell you this morning, you can expect a battle over your identity. You can expect a battle over your identity. Who you are and who God's made possible for you to become in God, there will be a battle that rages over that thing. Listen, you see it all around the world today. Battle over identity. It's so strong and it's so specific that people even question their gender. There's a battle that roars and rages over your identity in Christ. And listen, I'm telling you, you need to just expect it and ask God to begin to prepare you and strengthen you to stand against it. And how do we stand against it but with the Word of God? And listen, you just need to understand, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, One of the first ways that the enemy came against and began to lure people away from God's promises and God's power and God's presence and the future that they had in God was by asking the question, did God really say? And some of you last week, God spoke over your life some words or some reminders. He revealed some things to you. And I'm just telling you, you better expect that the enemy's going to come in that place that God spoke life and brought hope to you. And the enemy's going to come. He's the same enemy that he was in Genesis chapter 3. He's going to come and say, did God really say that? Does God really mean what he said? And can God really do what he promised that he'll do? There's going to be an attack on your identity. You better just come to expect it. He'll attack you. He'll attack you in an area and cause you to try to think that you're insignificant. That God, can God really use you? Can God really use you? Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 19. Because I can just feel it as a preacher when I'm preaching and I'm declaring and I'm proclaiming the promises of God. I can even feel the weight of the attack of the enemy over your identity in Christ. Sometimes when I'm promising those things, I'm declaring that's the very word of God. That's not Pastor T's idea, that you're the first and not the last, that you're the head and not the tail, that you're a son and a daughter, you're no longer a slave but a friend of God, that you're an overcomer and a conqueror, and not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. I can feel some of you check out because you just can't relate. I can feel some of you. It's just like you're talking about someone else, but you can't be talking about me because, Pastor T, if you knew what I had done, if you knew what I had said, if you knew where I was even last night, if you knew where my mind was right now, if you knew those things about me, that couldn't be true about me. And I'm telling you this morning that that's a lie from the pit of hell, that you are all those things and then some. Because the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any of those things. Listen, there's nothing that you could tell me. There's no misstep. There's no sin. There's no mind. There's nothing that you could tell me about your past or present that I would not remain convinced that God has a good future for you. Because the blood of Jesus is stronger and more powerful than any of those things. So you say, well, that's King David. You're talking about King David, and I'm just common Kevin or normal Nancy, you know. And I'm sorry, Nancy always gets used, whether it's negative or whatever, you know. You say, I'm just common Kevin. I'm just normal Nancy. You're talking about King David. I just get up, and I work a 9-to-5. I'm a stay-at-home mom, whatever your life looks like. Let me encourage you with something from this story. David didn't wake up on the day that he slayed the giant thinking, today's the day that I go kill a giant. He woke up with a commitment to just be faithful with the things that God had called him to that day. He woke up planning to be in the field, not on the forefront. And he knew something. He understood that the pathway to the new and the next and the more. He had been anointed. He knew some things that God was calling him to and was preparing him for. But he understood that the pathway to connect to the new, the next, and the more of God was faithfulness with the now of God. With the normal things of life. With the things that some people describe as common. How he walked those out before God and before others was paramount to his connection to God's destiny in his life. And so I don't care what you do and who you are or where you work or what your life looks like. It might be that you might think it's common, but I'm telling you, you're called to an extraordinary life in God. And I just want to encourage you with some things because I have a dream for my life and for this church, and I have a dream for your life and for your future and for your marriage and for your family because I know what God thinks about you and I know what he's made possible for you. But we can't get too caught up in this big picture, long-term dream that we miss the fact that the connection to that dream is just the next step. That we get so preoccupied with seeing God do something someday that we fail to realize that God wants to do something in your life today. David got up that morning and the assignment for his day was tending some sheep. And then his dad came and he said, hey, I want you to run an errand. Come on, his brother even said, don't you have a few sheep to watch over? It was nothing special. It wasn't this massive ranch or anything prominent. It could seem trivial. It could seem mundane. But he got up and he was understanding that God, that him being faithful to walk out the things that God had already put in his hand was preparing him for the giants that he was going to slay. He understood this. Listen, God birthed this church in the 1970s in a movement called the Jesus Movement. And it's something that the Lord began to speak to me as we were praying and seeking the Lord for that in that season of God calling us to step out in faith, the faith that it was going to take to embrace a new name for this church. And he began to speak to me and said, this church started in a movement and I'm renaming a movement. And I think it's so amazing that God renamed us as a verb. That's tough. I mean, think about other verbs you could possibly use to name it. He renamed us as a verb rev. He's calling us to be active. Listen, here's what I'm saying. God birthed this church in a movement, and he's called us to a movement. But a movement is not one moment in time. A movement is a series of moments interconnected to one another. You need to hear me in this. Faithfulness with what God's doing today. Some of you have thought, well, someday I'll do something. Someday God will move. Someday. And I'm telling you that today is the day of victory for you. And it comes by embracing the God in the midst of the normal and common and mundane moments and saying, God, those things that you've given me, I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm going to look and I'm going to watch and I'm going to expect you to move in those moments and move in those places and to even use me to introduce you into those places. Are you there? I asked you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And Elijah, he's in a tough spot and he's really battling and he calls out to God. And in first, pick up in verse 11, he's really desperate to hear from God. He's desperate for a word from God. And in verse 11 in 1 Kings 19, it says this, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. He's speaking to Elijah. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. Come on, that's a windstorm. That's a Texas-sized windstorm right there. Yeah, wind blows in Kansas a little too. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but it says the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He needed a move of God. He needed a word from God. And it says that there was a wind and there was an earthquake and there was a fire. And some might have expected for God to reveal himself in something grandiose and special and majestic. But God wasn't in any of those things. God was in the still moment of the whisper. And I'm just telling you today that the movement that God's calling you to, the life that God's calling you to, the purpose that God's prepared you for, and the destiny that he's leading you into is a series of moments. And you'll get there as you begin to say, God, these moments that you've entrusted me with, these moments that you've called me to, I'm going to begin to look and I'm going to begin to listen and I'm going to begin to expect you to speak in the things that some might call common or ordinary or mundane. I'm expecting you to be in the midst of it. And I understand that as I'm faithful with those things, you're preparing me for some of the things that you've called me to in the future. Listen, there are some things you've been anointed for in God that you're not yet connected to. God has you in the field to prepare you for your future. God's got some preparatory assignments for you. God's got some errands for you to run. And sometimes an errand can turn into an encounter. Listen, I don't know what it is that God's calling you to. I don't know what the dream is in your heart. I don't know if it's connected to your ministry, or I don't know if it's connected to your marriage or your family, or maybe it's the desire for a spouse. You need to understand that God knows and he sees and he cares about that, and he's got you right where he needs you to prepare you for where he wants to take you. You got to start embracing that God can be found in the common things of life. He's with you and he's for you, you know. We have three kids and one on the way. We have four kids. One of them just hadn't hit the ground yet. Could you guys see that this morning? That was my wife, Amity, that was up here helping me close worship there. What am I saying? I was helping her. But could you see that? We're about, 6 weeks away, baby, right, from welcoming a new little baby boy. And so, you know, over the weekend, I'm trying to prepare my message and spend time with the Lord and everything, and it just felt like the kids were kind of acting up, you know, and it just, my wife warned me about how to share this. I'm treading lightly, if you can't tell. I'm treading lightly. So all throughout the weekend, you know, I'm trying to do spiritual things, you know. I'm trying to be real spiritual. And it just seemed like every time, you know, I was sitting and trying to be real spiritual, a hiney needed to be wiped. And if it wasn't wiping a hiney, someone's hiney needed spanking, you know, right, or something. And as I was doing it, I just felt the Lord just speak to me and just say, you know what, this is a special season in your life. You won't always have hineys to wipe. And listen, I mean, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize it. I'm just telling you what God spoke to my heart. You guys are like, yeah, we know it's not very spiritual. God spoke to my heart, and I felt something shift inside of me. And just that temporary invitation to see it as an inconvenience, I began to see as a privilege and an opportunity, an invitation, really. And I'm telling you, I made a commitment. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm just sharing with you. This is just real talk with Pastor T right here. I made a commitment that every time I'll begin to associate it with something different. Every time I get that call, here's what it sounds like for me. Dad, come wipe me. You know, Dad, I'm finished. That I'm going to go over there, and as we're doing that, I'm going to find a way to just speak a blessing over whichever kid that is that needs my attention at that moment. Just begin to see. I mean, it's just a moment where they've got my attention, you know. And I'm paying attention to what I'm doing. And I'm going to begin to associate that with the opportunity. I'm not going to see it as an inconvenience or an interruption. I'm going to begin to see it as an invitation. There's some things in your life that just seem common, seem mundane. You're just going through the motions. It's just stuff you see as opportunity. Listen, those things oftentimes they're not interruptions, they're invitations. What if we began to see every moment as an opportunity to introduce the presence of God, the word of God, the hope of God? What if an errand could begin to be seen as an encounter? What if everything that seems mundane could begin to be seen as an opportunity for a miracle? Let me just tell you, you don't have to go to Asia or the 1040 window or wherever to lead people to Jesus Christ. There's a mission field right here, and it's called Walmart. And there's every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Rich and poor. People that desperately need to know Jesus. What if you started going to Walmart instead of just seeing it as an errand that your wife called you to do? You started walking in and saying, all right, God, I'm on an assignment. Here's where I am. Here's where I'm now. Let's see what you're up to. And then you began to just operate in the gift and the grace that God had put on your life. Maybe you have a gift of encouragement, and so you're going to just try to find someone to encourage. Maybe you have a gift of giving and generosity. God's prospered you. Or maybe you haven't even really prospered yet, but you just have a gift and a grace of giving, and you're going and you're just looking and say, all right, Lord, I know I'm here to buy my eggs, but I'm going to look to buy a single mom's milk. Or you walk in and you say, Lord, there's a compassion that I have on my life, and let me just tell you, you can hardly get through the front door without finding someone that needs that gift of mercy and compassion to be stirred up and pointed to them. Come on, there's an anointing and there's an authority that you have access to, just like David did. And it's time to begin pointing the anointing to the people that God's called you to. Don't underestimate. Listen, sometimes in those sneaky moments, wiping hineys. You need to shift the atmosphere with the word of God. So as David was going about his daily, ordinary life, he was watching for opportunities, and he was understanding that God was preparing him for some things. Listen, some of you think that you're in trouble, but you're really in training. And there's lions and there's bears in your life, and you're saying, God, how can I get to this place? Because there's lions and there's bears. And look what David did. Look what David said. Actually, I want to pick it up in verse 33. Just look at verse 33. David's stepping out and he's stepping in and he's leaning into God's call in his life. And he said, and Saul says, don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. Come on, your identity and your calling in God is going to be resisted. Just settle it. You're going to have to persevere and persist through some things. And he said, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, go after it. Come on, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, get after it. Come on, get after it. Those things, those lions, those bears, those things that you think have been sent to destroy you or disrupt you, God's saying, get after it and take them down and let it train you up for the faith that you're going to need to kill the giants in your future. So you don't know the thing I'm up against. Listen, all I know is the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And you might be up against some things that seem impossible today, but I'm just telling you, God wants to bring faith to believe that he can see you through. Remember what God's already done. If he's delivered you from the lion and bear, he'll give you the grace to defeat the giant. Get after it. Go after it. Can I ask the worship team to come up and get ready to help us close this morning. And listen, I want to encourage you in faith. Get after it. What's your lion? Where are your bears in your life? And have you allowed the roaring of the lion and the bear that stands up and raises himself up against you to intimidate you and cause you to shrink back or hold back or give in? Have you allowed those things to cause you to cower in the corner of God's destiny? Is it possible that God wants to bring faith where you'll begin to stand up and say, not on my watch. Who is this Philistine that defies the call of God on my life? I'm going to start to get after it. You see, this is described. God's given us some weapons that are of our warfare that are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And this right here is described as the sword of the Spirit. And I believe that there's a faith and there's a fresh invitation and revelation that God's bringing to God's people to begin to get after it. Quit letting the enemy dictate things to you. Begin to stand up against it and say, I hear that challenge. I hear that voice. I see that obstacle. I see that lion. I see that bear. But the word of God says this. And to begin to stand in the truth and the light of what God's made possible for you to be and become. God wants to deliver you from some lions and some bears. And I feel like the Lord really wants to minister to some people this morning as we close in worship. And can I just ask you all, church family, to just stand to your feet? And I really believe that there's an atmosphere that's about to be set for you to be delivered from some lions and some bears. Or maybe you've already fought your lions and bears, and today's the day that your giant needs to come down. And so I want the worship team, are we prepared to just go in and just sing that goodness, kindness, and faithfulness? I want the worship team to go back and lead us in that moment. And in the atmosphere that's created by that song, an atmosphere of faith, I want to just give you some open space. We'll just, about 10 more minutes, and we'll get you up out and about your day. But I want to create an open invitation for you to just step out in faith. The Bible says David ran towards that giant. And I really believe that there's faith stirring in some people's hearts this morning to step out and to begin to run into what God has for you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the faith and the freedom today to be set free from some of those things. Listen, I believe that there's some lions and some bears, and I think the Lord put a few of them on my heart. God wants to set some people free from fear. I mean fear that has just gripped you or held you back from stepping in and stepping out. Maybe because of past hurts and wounds. I believe that the Lord wants to set some people free this morning from anxiety, which is tied to fear. I believe the Lord wants to set people free this morning from depression that has caused you to just shrink back and just isolate yourself from God and from God's people. I believe the Lord wants to set some people free from scheme of loneliness, that the enemy's come and he's lied and he said they don't care for you, they don't love you, they don't want you, they don't need you. And today the Lord just wants to come and in those places speak the opposite word. You're welcomed, you're valued, you're cared for, you're a son and a daughter in the house of God. I believe some people are up against some lions and bears of sickness and disease, maybe a medical report. And I believe that God wants to touch and heal some people this morning in his presence as we step out in faith. Whatever it is that maybe is rising up and roaring over your life to keep you from stepping into the destiny that God has for you, I believe there's faith here this morning to be set free. So, Lord, thank you. As the team leads us, I just want to encourage you. Come on, we're a family, and there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And this is a judgment-free zone. No one knows what it is you're coming up to respond to. You're just responding to God and just saying, in that place, I'm seeking you, Lord, and I'm trusting you to heal me, to strengthen me, to set me free, to make me whole, and to get me going once again towards the destiny that you have for me in my life. Amen.